The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Here.
Berger. Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Blickley.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman. Freeman. Gay. Gingery. Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson. Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey. Harvey excused. Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
Mater.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz. Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff. Pieperinen. Reeder. Simlick. Summers.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Cheaters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Walters. Walters. Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dan excused. Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Freeman excused. 57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer of the day will be offered by Reverend Bob Girard, representing the First Presbyterian Church, Cheyenne.
It's been an honor and privilege to pray with you this week. Let us pray again. Lord, it has been an intense week of legislating, so we ask for extra strength to come to these women and men who've been elected to run and manage this beautiful state. We also pray this for the hardworking support staff. Fill them all with the vigor of your spirit, the vision of how your loving dominion over us is to be expressed through government, and the desire to work together for your glory. Please grant them some rest this coming weekend, safe journey to those who travel, and a happy reunion with their families. In your name we pray. Amen.
House will come to order. With that order of business, of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 20th, 2014 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representative Filer and Winters.
Doctor of the day is Dr. Dean Bartholomew, MD, from Saratoga, Wyoming. The nurse of the day is Kathy Parks from the South Lincoln Medical Center. Welcome to the House. Representative Laux, do you have a privilege of the floor?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Laux.
I would like to introduce the page of the day, William Shade. He's from Lander, Wyoming. He's 10 years old, and he's homeschooled. He has a huge interest in government, is hoping to be a statesman someday. His grandparents are up in the crowd. Bill and Joey Shade, if you stand up, please. And they transport him down here so he can spend the day with us in the People's House. Welcome to the People's House.
Welcome to the House. Brothers and sisters, due to the prolific nature of the members of the 62nd Legislature, you don't have a complete list of third reading amendments on the budget yet because the amendments are still coming out. As soon as we can get one to you, we will. We're at that order of business of reports from standing committee meet.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 124, Education, Content, and Performance Standards, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, Teeters, and one no vote, Representative Patton, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 115, Determination of Highway Rights of Way on Federal Lands, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Hutchings, Yagi, Laux, McKim, Reeder, two no votes, Representatives Campbell and Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman.
With that order of business of bills on second reading, the first bill for our consideration is House Bill 11.
House Bill 11 is introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act.
House Bill 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 12.
House Bill 12 is introduced by Speaker Lebnow, an act relating to speed limits.
House Bill 12, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 13.
House Bill 13 is presented by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to the Uniform Commercial Code.
House Bill 13, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 14.
House Bill 14 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to business entities.
House Bill 14, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 15.
House Bill 15 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to business entities.
House Bill 15, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 19.
House Bill 19 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to notaries.
House Bill 19, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 20.
House Bill 20 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to fire prevention and electrical safety.
House Bill 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 21.
House Bill 21 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
House Bill 21, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 30. 36.
House Bill 36 from the Management Council, an act relating to the legislature.
House Bill 36, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 37.
House Bill 37 from the Management Council, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors.
House Bill 37, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 42.
House Bill 42 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to school facilities projects.
House Bill 42, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 48.
House Bill 48 from Representative Baker, an act relating to fishing.
House Bill 48, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61.
House Bill 61 from Representative Greer, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
House Bill 61, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 62.
House Bill 62 from the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to professions and occupations.
House Bill 62, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 63.
House Bill 63, introduced by Representative Kirkbride, an act relating to taxation.
House Bill 63, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 72.
House Bill 72 from the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
House Bill 72, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Brothers and sisters, there's an amendment on House Bill 73 coming out. We will move it to the bottom of the pile. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76.
House Bill 76 from Representative Croker, an act relating to forfeitures and seizures.
House Bill 76, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 86.
House Bill 86, introduced by Representative Somers, an act relating to special rural health care districts.
There is an amendment, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 86 and ask for your aye vote. You'll see on the second page of the bill, lines 14 through 16, it deletes that last clause. It's a little bit too restrictive. It could preclude these districts from hiring pharmacists, and in some cases that may make sense. So this just cleans that up. And I think is a friendly amendment and consistent with the intent of the bill.
Representative Somers.
Mr. Speaker, on and for the amendment. I think it helps the bill. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none and sensing you're ready to vote, we're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 86. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 86 is adopted. The next bill for our House Bill 86, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 88.
House Bill number 88, presented by Representative Throne, an act relating to the Uniform Consumer Credit Code.
House Bill 88, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 95.
House Bill 95, introduced by Representative Harvey, an act relating to public health.
House Bill 95, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 98.
House Bill number 98, introduced by Representative Patton, an act relating to state investments.
House Bill 98, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 102.
House Bill 102, introduced by Representative Stebson, an act relating to the administration of government.
House Bill 102 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 104.
House Bill 104, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to student information.
House Bill 104 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 106.
House Bill 106, introduced by Representative Moniz, an act relating to counties.
House Bill 106 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 123.
House Bill 123 from the Management Council, an act relating to administrative procedure.
House Bill 123 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 127.
House Bill 127, introduced by Representative Halverson, an act relating to juvenile justice.
House Bill 127 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128.
House Bill 128, introduced by Representative Halverson, an act relating to juvenile justice.
House Bill 128 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 135.
House Bill 135, introduced by Representative Stebson, an act relating to the Small Business Investment Credit Program.
House Bill 135 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 140.
House Bill 140, introduced by Representative Kirkbride, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 140 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 145.
House Bill 145, introduced by Representative Madden, an act relating to use tax.
House Bill 145 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 146.
House Bill 146, introduced by Representative Summers, an act relating to administration of government.
House Bill 146 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 154.
House Bill 154, introduced by Representative Petroff, an act relating to sales tax.
House Bill 154 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 155.
House Bill 155, introduced by Representative Baker, an act relating to criminal court case fees.
House Bill 155 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 169.
House Bill 169, introduced by Representative Davison, an act relating to Medicaid waiver programs.
There are two amendments. Representative Filer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have an amendment on, I'd like to move committee the whole amendment, or no, sorry, second reading amendment to House Bill 169. As I was stating yesterday, folks, is if we pass this House Bill 169 the way it is written originally, what it does is it takes case management out of our session laws, and we don't have any direction for the Department of Health. So we revert back to what CMS has done at the federal government level, and we get nowhere. And I think in Wyoming that we should actually be directing our Department of Health, not the federal government be directing our Department of Health. So let's have a little bit of control on this. So my second reading amendment, what it does is on page 1, line 1, well, actually, Mr. Speaker, can I divide this amendment?
Well, it depends. What are your divisions, and I'll see if they're in order.
Well, I would like to divide my amendment from lines 1 through line 11 is division 1. And then lines 12 through 24 is division 2.
Representative Filer, I don't think that that's divisible. Now, there is a chance to make it, I think, divisible if you would do Division 1 as lines 1 through 11 and line 24 as Division 1 and lines 12 through 23 as Division, or lines, I take that back. It'd be lines 1 through line 9 and line 24 as Division 1 and lines 10 through 23 as Division 2. I think that those stand independently.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I think that would work just fine.
Okay. Line 1 through line 9 and line 24 are Division 1. Line 10 through 23 are Division 2. We're now on Division 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And on, I move second reading to House 169 Amendment, Division 1, deleting, repealing, and insert requiring applications for exceptions to federal conflict-free case management requirements as specified. I believe that there is another second reading amendment coming up. So as far as Division 1, it's really not needed in this amendment if we're going to pass the next amendment from another representative. So I'd like to just go ahead and call a question on Division 1.
All in favor of Division 1, say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Okay, Division 1 is defeated. We're now on Division 2.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment of House Bill 169. And this part, what it does, folks, is for the purpose of implementing Medicaid reform pursuant to the 2013 Wyoming Session Laws, Chapter 117. The Department shall apply for any applicable waivers or permissions to allow exceptions to the federal conflict-free case management definitions for geographical areas and shall implement a system using a neutral third party to ensure that no conflict exists. And why I wanted this in there is because what happens is this is going to give the direction to our Department of Health to apply for these waivers and also try to make something work for us here in Wyoming instead of just going strictly to the federal guidelines. This is something that could work for Wyoming. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I would move that second division and call for the question.
Is there any discussion on Division 2? Discussion on Division 2. Hearing none and sensing you're ready to vote, we're voting on Division 2 to Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 169. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division 2 to Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 69 has been adopted. We're now on Second Reading Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 169. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on Amendment Number 2 to 169, this deletes the Filer Second Amendment reading, and it adds, it goes through and changes the repealing to specify an application of on line 1-1, and on line 1-8 it changes repealed to amended to read. And then after page 1, after line 8, it inserts a new section that the Department of Health shall proceed with a reform and redesign of the Wyoming Medicaid program to include the following elements that were identified by the department in its final report on Medicaid options study. And Roman numeral 3 says, concerning developmental disability and acquired brain injury services, the department shall, to the extent practical, implement, provide for a case manager system for the waiver programs that is free of conflicts of interest. The provisions of this paragraph shall not be administered to affect any client case manager relationship existing on or before July 1st, 2014, and continuously maintained regardless of any conflict of interest.
Representative Croker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would strongly encourage the body to adopt this amendment. I think it's a great solution. As I mentioned yesterday, the idea behind the conflict case management was a good one. It was just that it created a lot of unintended consequences by separating a lot of people who were in the program from their provider or from their case manager, and this will allow for everybody who's already in the program to not be affected, but allow them to look at making these changes for the future when they can construct a plan to make it work so that people aren't losing their provider or their case managers.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Chairman Harvey.
Mr. Speaker, I think that this amendment is well intended, and I think that it sends a message to the Department of Health that we expect them to negotiate very strongly. However, CMS has implemented rules that prohibit this, and I think that the best we're going to be able to hope for is that we're going to be able to negotiate time so that people have the time and the ability to transition. But as far as long term, I don't think it's going to happen because CMS has already promulgated the rules. They've already been released. And so I think what they would do is allow us time for transition. But I'm skeptical. I still think this is worth passing, but I think that you need to know that it may not stick.
Representative Goggles.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I do have a question to the bringer. Do we not have to authorize the department to make these applications and change or to allow for the administration? Do we not have to apply to CMS to make that change? I think the previous amendment gives you that authority to do that. Without that authority, the provisions that prohibit the Department of Health are still in place.
Mr. Speaker.
Just a minute,
okay.
Representative Davidson. Representative Coleman, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, can I ask that we divide the amendment, the first division being lines 1 through 9 and division 2 being lines 10 through 32?
That division is acceptable. We're on division 1. Division 1 will be lines 1 through 9. Division 2 will be lines 10 through 32.
Point of order.
Chairman Gingrey.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure that's you can divide there, because what she's adding in on her amendment number 2, second reading, that's non-codified language from something we passed last year. So you have to have in there, see where it says amended to read on line 8? So what they're doing is they took out the word repealed on the first page of the actual bill. They stuck in amended to read, and then they're amending in to a non-codified portion of the statute. So I think they all go together. I don't think they're divisible.
I think that that's correct, Representative Gingrey. So the divisions are ruled out of order. I apologize, Representative Coleman, for that.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Davidson.
Maybe we could bring a third reading amendment and straighten this out.
Maybe we could. So, anyone else for their first time on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 169? Anybody for their second time? Chairman Davidson?
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Davison.
I will withdraw my amendment and come back with a third reading amendment.
Thank you, Chairman Davison. Third reading, or second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 169 is withdrawn. Madam Speaker Pro Tem. We are now on second. Okay. House Bill 169 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 73. Oh, I'm sorry. House Bill 178.
House Bill 178, introduced by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to offenses against computer property.
House Bill 178 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Our next bill for consideration is House Joint Resolution Number 5.
House Joint Resolution Number 5 is introduced by Representative Nicholas, a joint resolution to the United States Secretary of the Interior.
House Joint Resolution Number 5 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 73.
House Bill 73 is introduced by Representative Filer, an act relating to state employment.
And there is an amendment on House Bill 73. Representative Filer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment to House Bill 73 and ask for your favorable consideration. What it does is take page 1, line 4 of the standing committee amendment to this line after the first requirement requiring insert state agencies working with, so be state agencies working with providers and our agencies. Let's see, and to delete section M and create a new one that would, the department shall ensure that state agencies working with service providers receiving funds pursuant to this section shall have established employment first policies, including competitive employment integrated setting, consistent with requirements of Wyoming Statute 92-1022, which is A&I. So it demands that our state actually sets this up with our state agencies, which we already have some type of policy already in place for that, but not going to the extent of employment first with the agencies. Also on page 3, after line 19, to this line in the section 2A created by amendment. Okay, yeah. But what it does is adds two more people to the task force. It's going to be somebody with a developmental disability and also one of the community service providers appointed by the governor. That way we have somebody with disabilities, somebody that's providing services in the community, and other people directed by the governor to make sure that all voices are heard in this task force for the next 3 years when they report back to the Department of Health. So hopefully this cleans up a little bit. If we have to bring back a third reading amendment to scratch out a couple little more things, we can. But this is something really good for the folks with developmental disabilities, and we should really promote this service, and especially our state agencies working together on this. So I ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment.
Is there any debate? Doesn't appear, Representative Filer. So all those in favor of second reading amendment 1 to House Bill 73, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. House Bill 73, having been read 2 separate times, amended, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to find out if there's anyone here who has lost a phone. It was found in the men's room. It's a black phone. I think I have a selected audience. I just want to make certain. So please come up and claim that at your convenience. Are there any privileges of the floor at this time? We're waiting for a few minutes because on third reading amendments to the budget. So if there are no... Representative Moniz, are you looking for friends? Great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's just stand at ease until the sound of the gavel.
Brothers and sisters, here's what's happened. We don't have all of the third reading amendments out on the floor yet, so that's why we're standing at ease until the sound of the gavel. To save time, I was not going to introduce, read, or refer any bills, but since we're waiting on the amendments to come out, as soon as the chief clerk gets those entered into the computer, we will introduce and refer bills. Hopefully, by that time, all of the budget amendments will be out on the floor, and then we can go to work on third reading on the budget. So that's where we are right now. Just for status purposes, House will be at ease until the sound of the gavel.
House will come back to order. We are at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 28.
Senate File 28 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 28 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 63.
Senate File 63 from Senator Hastert, an act relating to public health and safety.
Senate File 63 having been Senate File is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 92.
Senate File Number 92 from Senator Coe, an act relating to education.
Senate File 92 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 13.
Senate File 13 is introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
Senate File 13 is referred to Education 4. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 55.
Senate File 55 from the Education Committee, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
Senate File 55 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 66.
Senate File 66 from the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 66 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture.
The next bill for consideration is Senate File 75.
Senate File 75 from Senator Bebout, an act relating to the authority of the federal government.
Senate File 75 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The House can stand at ease. The list for third reading of the budget is being printed at this time and will be here shortly.
Brothers and sisters, you'll be happy to know that we only have 50 budget amendments to do on third reading. Chairman Harshman, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While we have this minute just to kind of talk about the budget, thank you, Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor. And members, if you could, the goldenrod was passed out this morning, and it was really yesterday afternoon's goldenrod, so it didn't take any of our actions in on general file, but the main issue is really our actions on second reading on the budget. And I just wanted to point out to you the major differences right now between us and our colleagues down the hall. And it's not often that we have to print the goldenrod landscape across this, and it's because we have more profiles on it. So if you'll just look at the first page. Does everybody have that? I think it just hit your box within the last hour. So as you look across, really I think I'd focus your attention on the last two columns. And you can see the first to last, next to last is the 15-16 biennium house status. And then the last column is the 15-16 Senate status. And you can see both of our profiles are underwater. If you go all down to the bottom line in that first graph, the Senate is underwater $10.3 million and the House $14.7 million. And the major differences really, and I will say that, I mean, we're going to find the money. We're going to balance the budget somehow. There are coffee cans we've set aside, and I've got a budget balance or amendment to pull this forward because we never want to go into joint conference committee underwater versus the Senate. You know what I mean? We never want to be in a situation where we're at a greater deficit, I believe, so we want to try to be close because it really lessens our bargaining for all of our positions, our collective House position. But members, the real difference on that are a couple. Just the issues. We passed the early childhood for $1 million. The Senate did not. We passed $5 million in grants to the university, matching grants for scholarships. The Senate did not. However, the Senate passed, they reinstated $500,000 for air service that we did not with aeronautics. They inserted $960,000 in tourism that we did not. And then they also inserted some more money into the governor's task force, an amendment that I actually have, I think, might be first to kind of reorganize this. It asked for a little bit more money out of really a $17 million governor's kind of budget. But and then I think the other big one out there is on the school side. Really, we were pretty close with the Senate, except when they did a salary amendment, what they did is took all state University of Wyoming community colleges, they took the amount of benefit of paying the employee's share of retirement, which I referenced to you the other day. It was about a 1.25% pay benefit. And they took that amount of money and just said, we're not going to do that, but we're going to give it to state UW and Community College employees. So it ended up, I think they're sitting at about a 2.4. So I haven't read their amendment, but that's about a 2.4% raise. But the employees pay all their share of retirement. But they did the same thing with K-12, but they did, there's $12 million in retirement for K-12, but they did not put that back into K-12 ECA. And so the big difference on the school side is that they cut $12 million on the school side from that retirement piece. But other than that, many initiatives are close, a lot of language differences. And then I would say this, though, we also have a, we ran an amendment to help us with double counting on the courthouse security. So they have not run that. So, I mean, we helped ourselves by $3 million, or we would have been $17 million in the hole compared to them. And I'm not sitting here saying, I'm not admonishing, or hey, I'm just trying to give you the facts where we're at going into third reading today, and that we will have to find that, of course, to make that up. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Goggles.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm somewhat confused with the term underwater, because as I see it, underwater means that we're in a deficit, and I don't think we're in a deficit in any way, shape, or form here. But what I need to have explained to me is the reconciliation between being underwater and the amount of coffee cans that we're showing on the goldenrod and the other coffee cans that are not shown on the goldenrod. So if you could explain to the body the reconciliation between being underwater and the coffee cans on the goldenrod and the other coffee cans that are available to us, would you please reconcile? I'm kind of confused.
Chairman Harshman for a lecture on coffee. Or should we do Representative Petrov for that? Chairman Harshman.
On coffee cans. And it's a good thing. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and privilege of the floor. And the answer, my good colleague from Fremont, and we do have coffee cans set. And the biggest ones we've done, we set up the state facilities construction to set aside some money to start planning for that. We set up the school foundation reserve account because there are no coal lease bonuses coming after this biennium. 1 year of the next biennium is it. We know we're going to take a $300 million hit in coal lease bonus. And then the other big chunk that we really set aside was the payback to water, the water accounts. One was a borrow for the Gillette Madison out of Water 3, I think, and then the other was the payback of their budget cut. And that was about $40 million in those water account paybacks. So those are the three big ones that we've done in this budget. And many of those are profiled also on your goldenrod. I have an amendment that will kind of pull from all those. I think there's another little pot of money, too, where the Fireman A, we put $19 million in to fund the first year of it. We ran an amendment in here to stretch it out to 15 years. It reduced the state's payment to $15 million a year. I've got an amendment in there to kind of shrink that difference down from 19 to 15. We'll present $4 million back to balance this up. So the term underwater, and I said it again, I'm not saying we don't have money. I'm not. I mean, we've always in this body said, kind of tried to say, well, let's spend what we have to spend to do the things we want to do, and let's take a certain amount to really take advantage and do these one-time projects, but try to limit the growth of government with positions, particularly 80% of our budget is salaries, and try to move some of this state money out into the state to build roads and facilities at our community colleges and school districts and universities and all these things. And then we've tried to save a certain amount. And so we're trying to strike that balance. As we spend more, we're going to save less. I mean, that's a fact. And that's going to be the collective wisdom of this body. So I hope I answered your question. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Petrov.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I please have privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Leadership Wyoming is a program that annually brings together 40 Wyoming leaders to participate in a 9-month program to learn about the state of Wyoming, industries, issues, and communities. There are now 531 graduates of Leadership Wyoming, including several members of this body. And please help me in welcoming now in the gallery the 2014 Leadership Wyoming class.
Welcome to the House. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please.
Mr. Speaker, members, often we have family members that come here, and as members, we're able to come up and introduce them. Today, Nancy Schmidt over here in our that serves us so graciously day after day, has her daughter here, Laura. So, Laura, we thank you for your mother. Please take a bow.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm starting to see red coats up in the gallery this morning. Must be a Republican women's thing going on in Cheyenne. And two of my favorite people from Sheridan County are Rosemary Shunk and Ida Shunk Thompson. Welcome them to the House.
Welcome to the House. Representative Moniz, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you'd look up in our north gallery, we have the Wyoming 4-H leadership team down to watch us today. If I could introduce them, Wyatt Routerkus from Star Valley, if you'd step forward. There you go. Melanie Whitmore from Evanston. Robert Espy from Rollins. Justin Hope from Sheridan. Alicia Downery from Buffalo. And Alicia Johnson from Wheatland. And then their advisors, Robin Schauber from up Warren Crawford and Lindsay Moniz. Would you give them a hand, please?
Welcome to the House. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One more while we're all up. Speaker Pro Tem noted, we're starting to see some folks up in the balcony, and I would like to welcome the Republican women from all over the state of Wyoming who are up in the balcony, and please welcome them.
Welcome to the House. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor, please.
Certainly.
Mr. Speaker, members, I just want to give you a couple of reminders since we're on the brink of what's likely to be a long day with lots of votes. As we've gone through the session, we have wandered a little bit from our strong discipline earlier on as far as votes. And I just want to make sure that we're mindful of the clerk trying to get her vote tallies, both in division votes and in voice votes. When we have division votes, please don't be moving around the floor. It just makes it more difficult. When we have voice votes, just because you voted doesn't mean she's not continuing to count. So we've had some folks, you know, once you vote, you kind of wander around and do a little visiting during the rest of the vote. If you're going to have any conversations during a voice vote, please take them off the floor, because it just makes it very, very difficult to hear all the votes, and it's going to slow us down a little bit today. So if you can just be mindful of that as we go through the day, hopefully we'll get done a little quicker. Thank you.
We're at that order of business of third reading on the budget bill. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 1 from the Appropriations Committee, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1, 2014 and ending June 30, 2016, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There are an amendment or two. The first amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 45 to House Bill number 1. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. This is an extremely long amendment, and I think I can summarize it for you. And I'll make sure everybody has it. It's number 45. It's rather thick. And when we talked about in the budget, presentations earlier in the week about this energy campus, that there's been all these ideas all over the map about an energy campus, about an industrial, large industrial park, energy reservations, about liquid, coal to liquids, LNG to liquids, LNG exports, coal export litigation fund. All these things are now in the budget, and they're, frankly, most of them are our initiatives over the last 8 years. And so I'd mentioned to you that it's all these carryovers, it's starting to get kind of disjointed, and it's probably time to take a look at pulling these together and let's say, hey, as a legislature, do we want to get to work on this? And so what this amendment does is takes these sections of the budget and tries to pull these together, and so I'll walk you through the amendment. On page 1, lines 6 through 10, talks about international markets, and it's going to take the money from that, and it's going to reappear in here, so that's a deletion. Line 10 talks about the energy strategy. Lines 13 is our global markets. Line 15 are deep water ports. Line 18 of page 1 are LNG exports. And then the balance of that page 1, line 21 through 29, talks about the carbon capture initiatives, and that carries over to page 2. And then, members, on page 2 is really what the gist of this is about. And it starts with section 334, Wyoming Value-Added Energy and Industrial Plan. Let's try to pull all this together. And it talks about a coordinated, really executive and legislative push. And if you'll go down to line 31, we create a select committee, 6 members. And that makeup of that committee is traditional to what we usually do on select committees, with representation from the majority and minority parties. If you flip over to page 3, it goes down to line 29, it says can meet as necessary. Line 35, report to the JAC, the Joint Minerals Economic Development Committee. And then also line 43, develop and sponsor legislation. And then on the last line on page 3, directs the governor's office to really what to study. And these are things that are currently in the budget. These are things that are in his energy task force. And you can just kind of go down through this. So the governor can appoint a task force or task forces. And on line 11, the integrated test center. We have $15 million in there to build the ITC. It's probably one of the most exciting game changers really in the budget. That's on line 11. The next one is it talks about this industrial energy campus to really add value to Wyoming's minerals so they're not all exported, that we actually move them up the value food chain in this state. Line 21 talks about liquid natural gas export facilities. That's language in the budget. Line 26, the development construction of these liquid natural gas to liquid fuels, and that's an initiative that's currently in the budget that's been carried over. Line 31, this is a kind of a new thing that's we're hearing about, and with Wyoming's natural resources, and particularly with glass and electronics manufacturing, it is coming to the United States from overseas. And we want to try to get in on this. So this is a huge deal with our natural resources and our Trona and our natural gas supply and water. And this is another initiative out there. Line 37 talks about international markets for our natural resources. Line 43, deep water ports for Wyoming's non-renewable natural resources. And in particular, legal action to secure access to these Wyoming non-renewable, to these deep water ports. And that's in the budget currently. Flipping over to page 5, members, taking action to improve our strength in global markets. That's from the budget. Talks about addressing regulatory and infrastructure concerns to get to market. Number 9, or line 9, outreach and marketing. And then line 12, adding value. So these are just all statements that we have scattered throughout the budget initiatives, and most of these have been legislative initiatives. Now, the governor will determine these task forces. They'll get and the size of them. But we'd like to have a member from the legislature, one from each house, on each one of these task forces. So we're involved in this. So it's not we have create knowledge, and I would foresee, and I don't know what leadership, but that there will be many, many members involved working on different issues simultaneously. And so, and then this talks about consideration of how to appoint to the task forces. On, you know, getting down to line 29, that he'll report to this select committee the objectives, timelines, and deliverables for these task forces. And then on or for in August, we'll have another report. We want to make, and talking really about public benefit and as we move forward with some of these initiatives, if possible. And then the governor's role is also to assist the select committee, LSO. This is pretty standard language on some of these that we set up. Talks on line on page 7, members, Mr. Speaker, on line 1, it talks about you can obviously use experts. And this task force, is these are limited until December 31st of 2015. Talks about pay and per diem. This is pretty patent language. And then at the line 15 on page 7 is really the pulling together of all these funds and putting it in one fund, and then it breaks it out in really the amounts that we have there in the budget currently. And, Mr. Speaker, if you flip over to page 8, continues with that language that with amounts kind of appropriated for those specific issues. And then there is a little bit there. We put some money in here, Mr. Speaker, for legislative travel for these and per diem and pay for these task force members. And that takes us through page 9. And I know this is a I just wanted to put this out to members to think about the idea of, first of all, we as a legislature have put these in the budget and told the governor to do these, and then we've kind of went home and forgot about them and are starting to stack up a little bit. And most of these are our initiatives. I think we ought to probably either get going on some of these and really say, hey, we're going to push hard for the next year, year and a half, and let's try to really see if we can get some deliverables. Or we should probably just pull them back out of the budget. But I think that's part of our policymaking duty in this body. And so I wanted to float this idea out, and I'd stand for any questions, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have just a couple questions. on page 7, with the dollar figure, are those funds that are appropriated somewhere else within the governor's budget? Is this going to be an increase in the general fund? I hope. I know you'd mentioned that, but is that a dollar for dollar from somewhere else within the governor's budget? Also, I see this select committee or task force is put together that they'll work with LSO to draft its own legislation. This body's heard me speak several times about the need to keep our standing committees in the loop. I see that there is a reporting requirement to appropriations and to minerals. I'd feel a little more comfortable that any initiatives or further legislation come through a standing committee. Just want to know if you'd put any thought into that. A couple other questions, but I'll just leave it at those two. We're going to have a long day the way it is. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, I think this is a good idea. So on and four, the previous speaker from across the Owl Creek Mountains mentioned one of my questions is the funding that's already here, is it dollar for dollar what we've already discussed and already appropriated the last few years and they're just moving it around, or is this a net increase or a net decrease of the total funding we've already discussed before and agreed to?
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I have a couple of questions. One, when I kind of get this feeling I've got my back against the wall, and I've got no flexibility here. And if I don't do this, I feel like I'm not doing the right thing. And I think the couple of questions that I do have is, on third reading, we're asked to approve a task force. On third reading, a budget amendment. And it seems to me like this should have been a bill process, that we actually should have went through a process of setting up a bill that authorizes the governor to establish a task force. That leads to my second question is, does the governor have the executive authority to create a task force?
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a related question, and specifically it's to Section 334. And I heard the bringer of the amendment say that part of this is an existing statute and some of this isn't. And I want to know how much, just a general idea, I guess, of these 8 pages of legislation in here, how many or what parts of it is existing statute that's kind of been lifted into it to provide direction, and how much of it is and what parts of it is something that is new to this body today as a result of this amendment that hasn't been vetted in the process.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe just to speak to a couple of the questions. Certainly, this is one of those things that at least I would rather see prior to the third reading of the budget bill. But it is also something that when you're in this part of it's never too late to do the right thing, I guess, is the thing. This really does a lot to clean up, to consolidate, to formalize what we've put into place over the years. It gives a formal mechanism of input into a lot of these programs that right now we've placed in the governor's office with some sideboards on it, but not really that much guidance and certainly no formalized legislative input into those processes. So I think that's what the real strength of this amendment is. As far as the dollar amounts, there is the vast majority of the dollar amounts in this are found other places in the bill. The only difference, I believe, is that there is a slight increase because of the task force, which I understand is about $40,000. I'll try to get an exact number for you, but that's the only additional money in the amendment over and above what we've just moved around in other places in the budget.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To me, this is sort of a restructuring of how we do this, and I think it will involve more of us in these discussions. A lot happens informally with the university and our involvement in these various initiatives, and I think it would be better and more inclusive to have a process that, even if we're not on the committee, we're going to get reports, we're going to know what's going on, and we'll all have the ability to participate and know about these initiatives in more detail than we do now.
Representative Patton, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am for the measure, but with the question of understanding, as I read this, it's very simple. On page 1, lines 2, that we're actually reducing the general fund withdrawal of $1.9 million, and I presume that all of the rest of this falls under that kind of a category and financial impact of the general fund budget. But secondly, on a general statement, I am concerned, and I voiced this concern before, we'll repeat it, and that is I am concerned about the proliferation of task forces and select committees and their perpetuity, as they seem to grow on us. We never get rid of them, but they continue on and on. So I'm in hopes that organizationally and structurally that the public, but as particular, that this body has an understanding of what we're doing relative to who's reporting to who, and are the standing committees and the joint interim committees, are they a part of the loop of understanding, so that we end up with an advocacy in both the House and the Senate when the reports are finally delivered. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, ladies and gentlemen, you'll remember last year that we passed a budget amendment that helped us expand some exposure with international trade. And really from that experience with the governor's office and our legislators this during the interim, we have had some great opportunity to be competitive in a world market. And I think based on the issues that we have had today being challenged by the federal government and the ways that we have not been able to produce and enhance the opportunities for our natural resources, this gives us a coordinated effort to really be smart about how we go about assisting the governor's office and the legislature to make certain that we guarantee job opportunities for the citizens of Wyoming and market our produce worldwide. So thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just as to understand this in the full circle of things, this amendment was brought to the Senate and passed on their first budget amendment. And so it's, I wish they would have delineated each and every place it came out of the general budget more for me and for us. And so last night I'm flipping through and trying to find them all, but we're not trying to sneak anything under the rug or anything when they did it, nor are we. It really is a conglomeration of putting everything together in one bucket so you can see what it is, see what the dollar amounts are, and just have a better understanding of what we're doing.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, just to bring a little balance to the discussion, I really like this initiative. This is a great idea. I'm concerned we're seeing it on third reading. And I worked with the Speaker Pro Tem last year to help with that initiative. But this is allowing another group to be able to work and move along legislation. It encompasses a much bigger bite than a very specific objective. This is worthwhile. But, you know, as the Speaker knows, I like turtles. And so I would like to move along slowly with this, get it developed, and bring this back at another session. And so I just right now would urge you to resist this here on this third reading amendment. But just keep this in the back of our minds. This is a great idea, and I applaud the good chair of appropriations for bringing it up to us.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The more I mull this around in my geologist's head, the more I like it. You know, Wyoming and, you know, most of you here don't work in these fields. I do. Our natural resource base here in Wyoming is second to none in the world. We frankly tap a very, very small percentage of it. I want everyone to be more knowledgeable, of course, of what we already mine and receive revenue from. But, you know, I keep hearing about rare earth this and rare earth that. That is, you know, a fraction of what's out there that we're not even thinking about. So I think this process, trying to draw everything together, get everyone on the same page as we move forward, is a great effort, and I strongly support it.
Chairman Harshman, for your second time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple questions. The first question was, is this a budget increase? And there is about, I think the good whip talked about, there's about $40,000 to LSO, and most of that's per diem for legislators who serve. And I think there's about nearly $200,000 on administration in the governor's office. Now, keep in mind, we cut $1 million from his energy initiatives. This would be giving back about $200,000 to help with these initiatives. And then a couple other initiatives. The question was, is this all existing language? There are a couple new ones, and it's on page 4, particularly the glass electronics. And so there's a little bit of money added to support that effort if it goes forward. So there's a budget increase of around $300,000 with some LSO, executive and legislative branch. And I think... But other than that, it really pulls all these initiatives together. And I've been on appropriations now for 8 years, and I've made a lot of these, frankly. You know, the CNG exports, I think, was an amendment I proposed, the coal port initiatives, the routing, the tar sands pipeline through Wyoming if folks east of us don't want it. Those are all in the budget. I leave here, I have no idea. I mean, I think some folks went out to the Northwest and visited folks about ports. I have no idea. I never saw a report. I never heard anything about it. I don't even know who went. And so these are really legislative initiatives. These are important to our communities. And I would like, you know, you look at this involvement that could go around it. Frankly, I don't want to serve on any of these task forces. I don't have the time when this is going to go down. But I know many of you are passionate about certain individual areas of these and would like to get on these task forces and become experts on it and then report that to the select committee, have legislation come back to us. I mean, that's really the key. If not, we're just going to all go home, and then we'll hear about something. Hey, I heard somebody went out to Portland or Seattle or Bellingham, Washington or somewhere, and I don't know. I don't know anything about it. But I know we passed in the budget and directed the governor to kind of at least think about it and threw some money at it. And so this sets this thing in a hard timeline. It's going to end in a year and a half. It's over. We've had other task forces that do that. The good representative from Fremont and I served on the Nuclear Energy Production Task Force. That was we did some good for this state to set it up for the future for 100 years from now in this state. It went through minerals. These are all reported to JEC and minerals and to the full legislature. And so, really, this isn't something I'm going to put any blood on this thing. I just think it's an idea we ought to think about. And if it dies here today, we'll talk about it in conference. I don't know. So, but anyway, appreciate your aye vote and your consideration. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Voting on third reading amendment number 45 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All in favor, please rise. Having passed a standing division vote, since this is an increase or decrease of funds, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquibel. Filer, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mater, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Pieperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, excused. Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 15 no, 1 excused.
Third reading amendment number 45 to House Bill number 1 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1. Representative Crone,
privilege. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor. Ladies and gentlemen of the 62nd, I've got a special guest in from Cody in the house in the back gallery here. If we could welcome a great American Vietnam veteran, member of the Cowboy Chapter of the Special Forces Association here in Wyoming, and a dear friend, Jeff Mummery. Welcome to the house.
Thank you.
Representative Greer, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the West Balcony, some good friends of mine and constituents came down from Washakie County. Their names are Fred and Lori Franz, and I'll have them stand up. But before you applaud, today is Lori's birthday. Now, Lori's loving husband of 25 years, Fred, would get her anything she wanted for her birthday. And what Lori wanted to do is come down and watch us do the people's work for her birthday. Please welcome them to the people's house.
Representative Blake, would you help us out here? We are now on third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment 21 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, this is a much simpler amendment than the one we just did. It's about maybe a tenth of the size, I think. You will remember on a previous reading of the budget, we discussed the possibility of keeping this building open during Frontier Days. Since we considered it, the prime sponsor of this amendment has been able to confer with Capital Security and has been assured that they have sufficient flexibility in their scheduling that there is no need to ask for additional funds. So with this amendment, we are simply asking for authorization for them to do so, and that's all we will need.
Any further discussion on third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I would just ask you all to consider when you do this that that means that the employees in our state capitol building, our state employees who have to be here when this building is open, are not going to get a weekend.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, we all pitch in the capital city during Frontier Days. It's what we do. I put on a ridiculous 1890s dress and ride in a buggy and wave at people. And actually, I usually come in here to change clothes with my pass, and I have often thought that it's really too bad that all of these people who are in town on Saturdays, because that's when you get the out-of-town folks, that they can't come in and see our Capitol. And, we're really leaving out a highlight of Cheyenne by not having the Capitol open. And I think the tourists find it odd that we don't have the Capitol open.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just an added note, you know, as we try to increase tourism in the state of Wyoming, we get those folks here, and anything we can do to keep them around for another day, it just adds. And what we want to have is so many items for them to look at in our fine capital that they'll hang around another day, and that means extra income for our state, and I would surely ask for an aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Anybody from Cheyenne? Anybody else from Cheyenne want to speak on this one? Second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure I have anything to add, but it will be nice and cool in here in the building for people that live in the city anyway.
We'll vote in on third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 21 has been adopted. We're now on third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 21. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 9. And you have to flip through and find it's actually corrected copy number 3. You can tell I had some problems. So find corrected copy number 3. And corrected copy 3 is identical to what you saw on second reading. The vote was 30-30, so I thought you might want to have another chance at it. Again, this is for the officers. These are the officers that come from your communities, your sheriff's departments, your city police, offer up these officers. They come and work for DCI for a year or two, and then they come back to your communities highly trained. It costs us. We pay each department about $42,000 per one of these officers. One of these officers is one of the internet crime officers that goes after sexual assault or people that are trying to entice young girls. And I'll leave it at that.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, you should have a handout that went out that's in your basket. It's one of the last ones out. What this is, it just shows the funding for the DCI office since 2000. And you'll note that in 2003-2004, their budget was about $19 million and they had 69 employees. Now it's $35 million and they have 99 employees. And so the point of addressing and of appropriations addressing this issue, we're saying, look, if you want these positions, that's fine. But you've got $35 million bucks. You've almost increased your size by a third in the last 10 years. And you can put, if these are of critical importance to you, then fund them out of your budget. This is $1.2 million added in that they would have been stripped in 2009. And remember also that there's 27 of these positions. So by taking out the ARRA fund, the federal government funded positions, we're going back to what we were funding in 2009, which was 21 positions. And so, you know, and the other thing they didn't do, by the way, they didn't come back and ask for three of them or for half of them. They want them all or nothing. And I, with the bringer of the amendment, I said, look, come back and ask for three and we can support it or at least give the floor an option. So if you want to fund $1.2 million of our funded positions and add these back into the DCI and continue to grow it, that's your decision. So it's you're balancing the dollars, and whether you want to support it or not, it's up to you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. This is corrected copy, too, but still I'm wondering, why is this under the Department of Health?
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I would suggest that this chart that was given to us is probably in line with the rest of our government, so on and for the amendment. I don't know that this proves that we've grown this agency any more than any of the rest of our state government.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. To answer that last question, that's why you got to find corrected copy number 3. That was what was wrong with number 2. They stuck it in the wrong department. It's corrected copy number 3. It goes under the Attorney General. DCI is in the Attorney General. It was just a small typo. So let's talk about these officers just for a minute. You can see on the sheet that was handed out all the full-time officers. What we're talking about here is we have the best deal going. We're not actually hiring these people on as state employees. What we're doing is we're bringing them in from your town and counties. We're training them up so they come back into your communities highly trained. It also saves us money because we're not putting them on as full-time employees. What we're doing is borrowing them from our local agencies. They're very capable, and they're accomplishing a lot. We're not in dire straits of why would we start reducing our law and order now. I'd urge you to vote aye.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 1 has failed. Division being called, all in favor, please stand. Third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 1 has passed.
Does that require a roll call?
Oh, yeah. It does contain an increase in the budget. The clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Escobel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan excused. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 34 aye, 25 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 17. Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. And I move third reading amendment 17 to House Bill 1. Brothers and sisters of the 62nd, 2 days ago, I think we voted on a budget amendment a little too hastily, did not fully understand what we were voting on, or at least I made that mistake, and I'm hoping some of you else would like to have a fuller picture of what we voted on 2 days ago, as I'm trying to delete the amendment from 2 days ago. I know you've been getting emails on PMO, and you're probably wondering what PMO is, so we'll start off with, the acronym stands for Prevention Management Organization. And essentially what we had in our state was a hodgepodge where all these functions were being provided at the local level. So there was a very large bureaucracy that was disjointed. So let's start with the purpose of the PMO. The purpose of the PMO is to essentially have a single fiscal agent within the state of Wyoming and act as that conduit to understand what best practices are. So one person can look with the CDC and work with other professionals in the healthcare and prevention realm. So not every single local community has people checking the CDC website every day looking for what best practices are. The PMO that has that single fiscal agent who's supposed to conduct and manage the state and local population-based public health management. So it's through that one conduit that's out of Johnson County working with all your local practitioners. The bill we passed back in, or when it became active in 2012, was the culmination of a nearly decade-long strategic shift from an outdated substance abuse prevention model that funded programs designed to produce individual outcomes to a very different model that funds systems changes designed to produce population-level outcomes. So now we have somebody tracking the results so we can see what is working in our local communities and apply that to other local communities. Instead of having anecdotal evidence of this is working here, that's working there, we can actually study it and actually get results. It's the PMO is a comprehensive plan to reduce primary health burden and substance abuse and secondary chronic health diseases within our state. If you look on your desk, you'll see a two-sheet handout that I gave you. Yours is going to be black and white because I didn't elect to make the color copy for one of my three color copies during the session. So yours is in black and white. Yes, yes, trying to be fiscally conservative. That is correct, my good colleague. If you take a look at that, you're going to hear complaints. And essentially the complaints stem from one county in particular in the center part of the state. So as we had all those different fiscal agents operating, some were operating very well, and others were not operating very well. When they were getting hired, people weren't meeting certain criteria across the state. And that is why we took after a decades-long study to figure out how to revamp our system, and we went that way. So when you look at the costs, and if you could, just look at the percentages for the administrative costs. The dollar amounts have increased because overall funding has increased, so that's why I'd like you to look at the percentages. where the percentage of total administrative costs have reduced from 67% to 61%. The percentage of total for non-personnel administrative costs, 15% to 4%. So the administrative costs are dropping dramatically while providing more services, which is in the next block. Percentage program funding for community strategies for capacity has almost doubled from 18% to 35%. We're reducing the overhead by having every single fiscal agent being responsible to check the CDC website and learn best practices, to actually making one single conduit within the state and having that collaboration where that single person can reach out to the experts across the country and bring them into our state. If you look at the next page, it will show you what the PMO has actually done within the 2 years of its existence. Currently, it's up and running in 22 of 23 states. Niobrara County is the one county it's not operating. It should be operating in the next 6 months with a half-time employee working there. But you see the breakdown by suicide, that we've had more than 6,000 people trained within our state. You look at tobacco, what's happened. The a certain clinic, I can't say their name, but a world-renowned clinic has trained 24 people statewide to conduct face-to-face cessation classes. Prescription drug abuse, every single county now has a drop box. You can also look and see what's going on in alcohol throughout our state and underage drinking to combat the misuse and alcohol abuse within our state. And those are successes that is going on with the PMO. We did not know what the successes were before. Again, we had some counties that were doing well, and we had others that were doing not so well, shall we say. So in closing, I'd just like to say I think we need to continue reducing the administrative cost. We need to reduce the administrative time, and we need to follow best practices. Instead of having 50 different fiscal agents, let's have one and continue the system that we're using. And I'll stand for any questions.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I stand on and for this amendment. The health care professionals in my county have told me that this PMO system is more efficient. It better serves the public. They've worked under both what was before and what came after, and they believe that the current system is a better system. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I too support this and ask you to support it, and I do it from a different angle. What you almost have to do is get this Amendment 76 from the second reading here. And we were talking time after time last 2 days ago about alluding to legislation that's creeping into House Bill 1, and this is a poster child of that. It really is a deal where not only are we appropriating money by saying, yes, substance abuse and child intervention is a worthwhile thing to deal with and try to prevent, but not only that, we're going to tell you who you can contract with and who you can't contract with. And then elsewhere, the executive branch, and as well as us, is charged to the health department to become more efficient. So you can't have it both ways, folks. You can't run the legislation that prevents efficiency when they've been ordered to do it and still maintain a program that's worthwhile in the health department. So I urge your support of today's amendment.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I brought the amendment on Wednesday, as you can all see, and the purpose of it was I see this as a total duplication in processes and services provided throughout the state. Prior to 2012, all of these services were being provided through the communities individually. They still can be provided to the communities individually. This duplication of services, and the reason I think we received so many emails between Wednesday and today, is because as these entities, the Prevention Management Organization, PMO, has came into these communities, it's been a top-down driven approach from us, and that's why it hasn't worked. That's why the locally led approaches were working so well prior to this, and that was the purpose of my amendment, is to get rid of the bureaucracy and to not have this top-down approach that we have seen. So I would encourage you to defeat this amendment and stick with our second reading amendment. Thank you.
Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Now, as an old ER nurse, everything on this list every ER nurse in every hospital, in every clinic, in every physician's office deals with these issues every day. This is a way to coordinate the services, to have those communities feed the specifics from their communities up to the coordinating centers in our state and really make an impact on what is happening not only across our state but across the nation. This is an opportunity for us to really push back against all of those unfunded health care costs that are hurting every hospital in our state. We can do something about this. We can impact health, and we can start doing something positive. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. Mr. Majority Floor, just to give some background, so a few years ago when I was chairing the Select Committee on Mental Health, here's how the system used to work. It used to be you had some employees at the Department of Health that were prevention employees. They would contract with the counties. They usually contracted almost always with your local mental health substance abuse center. That's who did the prevention work. It was a very easy contract to do. It wasn't very complicated. You send the contract out once a year, and each community had their contract, and it was done through the mental health center. A few years ago, for some reason, and nobody quite understands why Department of Health decided to do this, they brought in a private corporation, what everybody's calling this PMO. They brought in this private corporation and said, okay, what we're going to do is the state of Wyoming, through the Department of Health, through their employees that are still there, which is bizarre to me, why you would still have the employees if you brought in the third-party private corporation. But those employees then contract with the PMO, and then the PMO turns around and contracts with all the same people, essentially, that were being contracted with before. Why you need the PMO in the middle of all this, I still don't understand, and nobody's really explained that. That's why I thought the good representative from Casper's amendment the other day made a lot of sense. Because nobody has justified why we hired a private corporation to send out the contracts. It just doesn't make much sense. I would urge you to vote no on this amendment and stay with our second reading position.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. My understanding is the reason that we hired a private contractor is because, in fact, those state and federal monies that were designed for prevention weren't being used well enough. And that what we've seen, and you can see it again from the handouts, is that we are using this money better. Importantly, the amount of money that's going for community strategies and capacities has doubled since having a PMO system rather than the system that existed beforehand. So on and in favor of this amendment. There are more services going to communities under this method than in the previous one.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I speak on and for this amendment. I mean, the bottom line is that the PMO is working. I mean, you can see the figures on it, and it's more dollars on the ground is what it is, and less administrative dollars being paid out. And in my opinion, the result of this is people that weren't efficient and in the our operations and couldn't show positive results are the ones that are fussing about it. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Going right back to the sheet that was passed out, if you look at that on the total prior to the PMO organization, they were spending about $7.4 million. Now they're spending about $11.2 million. There's been about a $3 million increase in funded strategies, as they're calling, or program funding. That's the exact amount, essentially, that shows in the overall total. So I don't know that I can say that there's any more going on other than the overall program has just been funded more heavily than it was before. So I don't see where the PMO has done anything to increase that funding. The whole program is just being funded at a greater level. So as I said before, I would encourage you to defeat this amendment and stick with our second reading amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. And from that one person's community, unsolicited letters from the people who help you if your house is burning,
the people if you're someone's holding you hostage, the people if you're battered by your spouse, where the house you're going to go to, the largest largest for-profit location in the state where you go for inpatient care, all have said how effective this system is under the PMO. And lastly, I'd like to just say, let's reduce the administrative cost. Let people in the field actually provide care at the local level instead of worrying about checking with best practices. Let the single conduit be there so the people at the local level can provide care and treatment instead of wasting their time on administrative costs and administrative burdens. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 17 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 17 to House Bill 1 is passed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1.
Mr. Majority,
sorry, I promised that too. They're all over the place. Mr. Speaker.
I think that this amendment, even though it deletes an amendment, is a change in a fund balance, which would require a roll call vote.
While the clerk is setting that up, I'll recognize Chairman Harshman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Members, it's time for a little stretch. I'd like to welcome some ninth grade students from Casper. You know that place, number one on your license plates, number one in your heart. But we have some ninth graders here from Roosevelt High School over here in the North Gallery. Now, they've tried a case in the Supreme Court. Their teacher, Miss Michelle Nicole, has brought her kids down here year after year to really... And I know many of you, I think we were well into adulthood, maybe elected before we ever visited the people's house. And so we appreciate Miss Nicole bringing the kids down here every year, and welcome to the house.
Welcome to the House. The clerk will call the roll on third reading amendment number 17 to House Bill 1.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay,
Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mater, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan excused, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gingery, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Teeters, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 14 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 17 to House Bill 1 is passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1 for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, the Joint Appropriations Committee did some stellar work for us, and part of that work was responding to governor's letters. Governor's letter number 11 was one of those that they received on the 21st of January. In receiving that, they funded two of the governor's requests: patient-centered medical homes and the Wyoming 211. Patient-centered medical homes is a methodology of coordinating better care within our communities. 211 is about giving folks better access to information about their health care. So, folks, there's a theme in this. It's about health care. It's about taking care of our folks.
The third request the governor made in this letter was regarding the Health Information Exchange, e-health partnership. This is one the JAC thought they did not recommend and did not add. Ladies and gentlemen, I would respectfully ask you to consider adding this because it actually builds on the first two and provides part of the background for the first one specifically. With that, ladies and gentlemen, what we have here is a joint effort. This is an effort between your hospitals, the largest in the middle of the state, the largest in the southeast, one in the southwest, smaller hospitals on the eastern border, one in the northwest basin area. So, ladies and gentlemen, these folks have come together, they're working together, and they've had some seed money to get started. And what's occurring is, as they're building this, and these individual hospitals, these providers, are working toward getting their budgets in line to pursue and to promote this idea and participate, they have to get their own budgets in line. And so we're at a little point of a gap here. There's a little bit of a funding gap for this to continue. The governor recognized his letter. I would ask you to recognize it and give these folks some funding to bridge this gap so they can continue the good work they're pursuing. What is that work? That work is providing better care to individuals. It's actually saving us money, both through our Medicaid program, Medicare for our seniors, and our private dollars. Overall, this will assist us in improving lives, saving lives, and giving us better lives. Thank you for your consideration.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our discussion in JAC was pretty brief about this particular line item, and there was just concern that we had been investing significant sums in it over the last few years, and this was just an attempt to put a brake on that. So, you know, I just say to vote your conscience.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time? Representative Green, for your first time.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. And Representative Barlow, what results have been shown by the funding for the last few years? Because a person in my local community has raised some substantial concerns about this organization, how it's been ineffectively managed, ineffectively run, and they have no results showing for any positive outcomes yet. And they just think we're just going to keep continuing to fund and fund, but actually we're not going to make any change, a positive change within the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Teeters.
I would also like to know, thank you, Mr. Chairman, what other efforts are underway to help expand information about these kinds of programs?
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Actually, if we'd harken back to the last discussion we just had, and we wanted to give some more time to actually allow a management organization to show results and to encourage that, that's actually what this is. This is actually from the opposite end. This is actually the communities, the providers, saying we want something and we're willing to fund it. They have skin in this game. And as far as I think there was a comment about how much skin in the game the state has, certainly the state helps in a coordinating manner, but I think the funding, from a funding perspective, I think it's fairly limited, as these were grants, either private or federal grants, that helped start this. And now there's just, we need a transition. What the request is a transition for the state of Wyoming to step up and allow these hospitals, give us some time for these hospitals to bridge that gap, because this is voluntary. They are stepping up. To date, $200,000, and we're asking for $1 million to give them a little bit of bridge time as they bring their partners in the hospitals network across the state on board. So I thank you for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 43. Representative Greer.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I move third reading amendment number 43 to the budget bill. What this does is simply deletes the second reading amendment concerning a program that was appropriated $125,000 regarding county search and rescue grants, excuse me, to quickly find people suffering from certain ailments. It was to help find some elderly disabled people who are lost. You know, just so the body knows, I think that the program that was brought forth in the second reading amendment is probably a very good program, and I don't have any problems with that. My concern is the fact that that is the type of legislation done in a footnote that really should be vetted through our labor committee. This is something that we're going to put in place, and I understand that this program is working well here in the capital city, and that this is an attempt to grow that to the rest of the state, all admirable purposes. However, I think this needs to be pushed through the process so that it can be properly vetted, so that the rules, regulations can all be put into place. And what I, maybe to save time going forward today, I'd just like to call this argument number one, is rather than creating legislation, new programs through a footnote, let's take it through the proper process. And therefore, I'd ask your consideration, just delete this out of this budget, and if this program is as worthy as it appears to be, just let it come back through our next session and work it through the process. Thank you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. This has been vetted. This was passed by the legislature. This has been through the process. I think one of the curses of being here for so long is that you remember the cycles over and over. And so why isn't it there now? Why are we coming back with a budget amendment? It's because this body has instructed the Appropriations Committee and all of us to get a handle on the budget. And so what the Department of Health does is they take programs that perhaps are not statewide or have application to everyone. They started out as pilot projects. And so now we cut the budget and the program's gone. So it's up to this body to decide rather than just have, I mean, even though this has been vetted through the Labor Committee and we felt like it was worthy of going forward, it still got cut. So the question is, do you believe that medical health records and health information technology is worthy of our spending dollars on? If you do, then vote no on this amendment. If you think that this is an area that we don't need or that we shouldn't be progressive in, then vote aye on the amendment. But this is a program that has been fully vetted by the appropriate committee. And it was accepted by that committee. It was through the budget process that it got cut.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. And technology is a beautiful thing. We're actually going to be discussing local government funding a little bit later. If you talk to your county commissioners, your mayors, and maybe yesterday you talked to the people that were here from law enforcement about the tremendous amount of money they spend on search and rescue. And we are going to be reporting back to both appropriations committees and the Labor Health Committee by October 1st, 2014, on the successes of this program through a statewide grant program. It will continue here in this county. What the amendment would do would be it wouldn't allow your counties to apply for this grant.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I stand corrected. I'm on the wrong amendment, and I'm sorry.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? We're voting on Third reading, amendment number 43 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading, amendment number 43 to House Bill 1 has passed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading, amendment number 7 to House Bill 3. Chairman Gingery.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker.
I rise for a point of order. I'm thinking that that amendment decreased a fund.
Mr. Speaker, better safe than sorry. The clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow. Berger. Blake.
No.
Blevins. Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt. Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
Pieperinen,
Reeder, Semlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan excused, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Teeters, no to aye. Eklund, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 27 aye, 32 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 43 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next reading amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 7. This is deleting a footnote. It's footnote 11 in the Department of Health budget. And what that footnote essentially says is the Department of Health is authorized to require mental health service providers to provide personally identifiable information, including but not limited to Social Security numbers. What they're trying to do, and it's actually a good idea, what they're trying to do is make sure you're not double dipping, that you're not getting money from Medicaid and not getting money from the general fund at the same time. The problem is that we did this years ago. This is something, when I was chairman of the Select Committee on Mental Health, we worked on this for a lot of time. We actually spent a lot of time, I can remember sitting for hours, listening to the IT guy describing how they come up with the personally identifiable number so it can't be traced. Because you got to imagine it, you're going in to get help with a mental illness. You certainly don't want your personal data about that personal, that mental illness being transferred all around the state so people can verify whether or not Medicaid or general funds are being used to treat your mental illness. So people are very nervous. Plus, you know, sometimes you're dealing, if you're dealing with a mental illness, you may actually be dealing with someone with paranoia. And so when you start asking them for your Social Security number, they might have some concerns and then may not go and obtain the service because they're worried, you know, of that. So I would urge just to delete that there's already a system set up for mental health providers, and this is not needed.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I certainly understand the good chairman of Judiciary's arguments. If he could briefly explain, because I'm getting conflicting information on this issue, how the system without this would prevent double dipping, particularly when it comes to, I think I can say the word, Medicaid, since those folks are identified through Social Security numbers, so just need to understand how we're going to stop double dipping. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. On and against the amendment, we really this is a product of we as a legislature demanding really over the last couple of years, as we've seen changes in requirements under insurance, we've seen the mental health parity rules, we've seen these things that should require and result in more coverage for people seeking these types of services, as we turn to the health department and say, you guys need to ensure that we're not paying for people that should be paid for elsewhere. We shouldn't be using state tax dollars to pay for folks that have their own coverage or are getting these paid for in other respects. And what we keep hearing over and over again is we don't have the tools to do that. We don't know that unless we can trace just the exact kind of information that we've got in footnote number 11. And so that's why we put it in there, because we were being told that they can't do that without this information. And so it may well be difficult for providers to reconfigure their systems, but you know what? They're receiving a lot of state dollars, and I just think we should leave this in there to ensure that taxpayer dollars are going where we intend.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Horstman.
Well, thank you, Mr. Majority Florida. Just to pile on a little more on this deal, but I just think of it as we're down here appropriating taxpayers' dollars. I mean, these are other people's money, many from industry, but I just think we owe it to make sure that there's not a double billing or there's not a, that we are the payer of last resort. And I just think, I just think it's important we leave this language in here, and I don't think it's too onerous, so I'd urge your defeat. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, and I apologize, I wasn't very clear. I totally agree with the intent. My point was, we already have the system. You know, I went to the reception the other night for the mental health folks, and they were asking, why is this in there? We already have this system. It's already in place. I think there's a disconnect between the Department of Health and maybe their providers. We spent a ton of time setting this program up so it would work. I'm not sure what happened to the Department of Health, that they just let the ball slip here or something, but this system was set up and it was running, and we spent a lot of legislative time setting up this system. I'm not sure why we're reinventing the wheel.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all in favor, please stand. Third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. How many of you have received? I move amendment number 28 to House Bill 1. How many of you received phone calls from constituents about the Medicaid waiver redesign? I mean, don't really have to show hands, but I suspect that just about everybody in the room has received. And how many of you understood what they were talking about? And how many of you referred them to call to me? I can tell you about 34. So I did a lot of studying over the interim. After we went through this bill, first we went through the presentation from the Department of Health, and then we went through and passed the bill. We just amended the bill. There's one part of it that may not be working as we hoped that it would. But I spent this interim going far and wide and looking at other systems and saying, all right, what is state of the art? what are the best practices and how should we do this? And then in December, I think it was the best conference that I had attended and got to hear one of the world's renowned experts on people with developmental disabilities. And his first slide, you could have written and passed out on this floor as the reason why we changed the DD waiver system. And it was a picture of a dune buggy. It's midair and all four wheels falling off. And then he had little arrows that would come in toward and he said, we're working with antiquated systems. We're working with service providers that have monetary commitments, that they built buildings, that they're making payments, that they have staff that are trained to do certain tasks. And then it goes parents, expectations, old thoughts, patterns, and habits. And then on the other side of the slide came in the big fat line. The reason to change is because what we're doing is not sustainable. And I think that that is what the driving force behind the Medicaid waiver redesign was. We can't keep 650 people on a waiting list with zero services. We can't continue to spend almost $500,000 on 85 people, $500,000 each on 85 people for people in a state institution. And so the bill last year was, what efficiencies can we find? And so the Department of Health went out and they looked for these efficiencies. And what they designed that we accepted is state of the art. It is what states are doing all over the country. One of the states has 72% of their population, their DD population, who are receiving state services that are employed. We have less than 15%. So we created two waivers. We eliminated two waivers. We said child and adult. We eliminated those. Now we have comprehensive and supports. Comprehensive is for people who have higher needs. They have less ability to manage their lives and less ability to get things done. The supports waiver are for higher functioning. And by the way, these are the people that went through the DD preschools and they have more neural paths. They're able to do more things. So what is the disconnect? Why did we have public hearings where the legislature got blamed for the changes? Well, we passed the bill. Okay, why did we have so many people that were angry about the changes? Because they're working on old paradigms. And so this amendment is a very small appropriation, $20,000. And we want to get everybody together in that big arena in that county number one in your heart or something. I don't know. We want to get all the people with disabilities. We want to get their parents or guardians that are responsible to help them make decisions. We want to get the providers, those that, not just leadership, we want to get the frontline staff. We want to get all of the departments, Department of Health, because they're the ones who oversee the waivers. Department of Family Services, because they oversee adult protective orders. They also have foster children with developmental disabilities, so that they have a buy-in in this. We want the Department of Education, because job training starts during the school years. We want the Department of Workforce Services because they oversee DVR. We want all of these state agencies and the people that work on the front line with people with disabilities. We want the advocacy groups. The governor has a planning council about this. There's an early council about this. We want everybody in the room at the same time. and we want them to hear presentations by other states that they have that have designed the same program and how it is working. We want to hear from people with disabilities who are operating under systems in different states and how it has changed their life. We want to have all of the departments understand the mechanics of how to do this. And then on day two of this conference, we want to have training. We'd like to bring in economic development groups. We'd like to bring in a federal agency that helps people write business plans. We do not want the providers to fail. We want them to be able to retool their businesses. We want them to be able to write new business plans. If they need to divest themselves of real estate, okay, then what are they going to do instead? We want to have experts teach them how. Now, what is the end result of this going to be? Agencies have a better understanding of how to implement. Families have a new paradigm. You know, when a child with disability is born into a family, they go through a mourning process because they mourn the loss of the child they thought they were going to have. The doctor says, it's a boy. And dad says, we're going fishing and we're going to have a catch and we're going to play baseball. And then reality hits. And so they say, okay, then what is our life going to bring? Because we're not going to have 2.1 children. We're not going to have the terrible twos and the awkward teenage years. And they're going to go away to college and come back and bring us grandchildren and everything's going to be perfect. They lost that dream. And now we have to give them a new dream that includes that this child that they didn't get to do all the fun things with that they wanted to, that this child still has an opportunity at a full and robust life. $20,000, we can get everybody together. We can teach about the waiver redesign. We can help people develop a new paradigm. We can help the providers who, quite frankly, bailed us out when we were sued over our institutionalization of this population. And we're helping people have a new way of life. I would urge you to vote aye on this amendment.
Is there any debate on third reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1? Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1 has passed. It includes an increase in the budget. The clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey. Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi, Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mader,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan excused, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
Aye.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 15, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Majority Floor Leader. Prior to presenting this amendment, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Folks in the North Gallery, sitting with my lovely wife, Becky, is my youngest daughter and youngest child, Sarah, who has recently moved to a town close by and is carrying my fifth grandson. If you was to look at her and I, you would say, no, Lloyd, it's you that's pregnant. But nonetheless, we're nonetheless, I'm glad that she's here with her mother.
Welcome to the House. Representative Larson on third reading amendment number 15.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 15 to House Bill number 1. Folks, you know, I really appreciated the work that the Appropriation Committee has done, and I watched them defend their work with a tenacity that reminds me of tenacity. I'll just leave it at that. And they work very hard at doing that. There's and there's reasons for doing that. But there's a reason that they bring this bill before us too, is we're part of this process, and part of the checks and balances in this whole process is to ensure that there's things in that bill that we approve of, and if there are things that aren't appropriate that should be removed. And if you look on page 41 of your House bill, there's a footnote 16, and it refers to the funding formula for my issue during this session, which has been developmental preschool funding. You see that they, on this footnote, they say to the extent there is insufficient legislative appropriations to achieve calculated payments amount in the statute, the per child amount for all providers shall be reduced proportionately to the available legislative appropriation as calculated by the Department of Health. Well, the reason there would be insufficient legislative appropriation would be because of the Appropriation Committee, and it would be reduced proportionally to this by this committee. My point is that we have established in statute in 212706 the policy that's been adopted and written by this body to address that funding. And I just think that this needs to be removed. And if we don't like the funding model that's in statute, we can go back and change that and bring it before this body. But this was just the wrong place to do that. And I think it needs to be removed. This would be our legislative problem number 2. On this House bill. So I would make that recommendation to you. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, whatever you are.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. On and in favor of the amendment, but probably for a couple of reasons different than the sponsor. I think the sponsor makes good points. You know, as the bill makes it through this body, and we get to sort of refine the language in the fire of debate here, that we do make a better product. And one of the things that I think, as I've looked at this measure more clearly, is, A, we have fully funded it. And we've talked about that a number of times here on the floor, that for this next year, we have funded these kids in a way that it reaches that maintenance of effort. But even more importantly, probably, is this probably shouldn't have been in the budget ever anyway, because if you look at the statute, and the statute that talks about the per child amount, what it talks about is it directs the agency that to calculate the per child amount in a certain way when it makes its budget request. It does not in any way, shape, or form tie this body's hands to do whatever it deems appropriate as far as and appropriation. So I think this is sort of contradictory to the actual language of the statute, and I appreciate the good sponsor for his persistence on this issue and for bringing the amendment, and I urge your aye vote.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time? We're voting on third reading, amendment number 15 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading, amendment number 15 has passed a voice vote. The chair is going to rule. I can't tell if this raises or lowers the budget, but it does one or the other, so we'll the clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Feiler.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker. Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mader, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. Throne.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 15 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 10. If you remember, we sort of had something similar to this on second reading, but I've taken out the part that people had concerns about, and so hopefully what I left in, everyone's okay with. If you recall, this was the part that was allowing the public health laboratory to charge fees for their testing, and I had in there in second reading, I had stuck in, except for chemical testing done for DUI cases, and I've taken that out, so that would be charged. The only part I'm leaving in then is we had a discussion about subpoenas, and when you subpoena their expert witnesses to come, they're requiring full payment for their travel and for their lodging. And what this would say is that they will pay for that, and they'll attend the DUI trials. And I would ask for your aye vote.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. I think this is a good compromise on the arguments that we brought up, so I would encourage your aye vote as well.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Gingrey.
I just got to say, this is the best day I've ever had. I've never had the good representative from Cheyenne agree with me on anything.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next representative, or Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Can I have a privilege of the floor?
Proceed.
I would like to introduce in the West Gallery, oops, don't walk away right when I'm going to introduce you, the Vice Chair of the Wyoming Democratic Party and also a librarian from Sublette County, Anna Kupel. Please welcome her.
The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, and I'm rising in support of upcoming amendment number 16 and withdrawing number 1. Thank you.
Third reading amendment number 1 has been withdrawn. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 47. Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move to House Bill 1, third reading amendment number 47. Essentially, it's a philosophical debate we're going to have on this Right now we have a earmark in place for a certain program, the Father Factor program. And since I'm not a member of the JAC, I do not support earmarks. However, I reserve the right, if I ever am on JAC, that I can bring earmarks in the future. I just want to let everybody know now. Okay. So essentially, I think we should tell DFS, hey, here's the money. You go figure out within these parameters, this is what we're looking for. And you can see the parameters are listed right on the amendment, what I think the parameters should be. And say, DFS, you go out and contract with that amount of money. Let's not earmark to this one program. Let's let DFS make those decisions. Let's not put earmarks in there. And I'll stand for any questions.
Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. The DFS budget was mine. We had some questions on it. So I passed out two handouts for you to show you how we're actually doing already, what the good representative from Over the Hill would like to do. And what we have in the 900 series there that you see are some programs that come out of this TANF block grant. That's Temporary Assistance for Needy Families block grant. And with legislative directives, there's a stipulation on how much we can actually hand out or appropriate, I should use the correct word, $500,000 on a TANF block grant. So that second line down, you see Greater Wyoming Big Brothers and Big Sisters. They got $334,000 out of that same block grant. And then further down, you see $1,671,000 for Climb Wyoming. And a couple of years ago, we had an amendment in here to expand this program to the county in the middle of the state and the one up in the northeast corner of the state. And that's when we were going through all these big budget cuts. So that's why this program is only here right now. But we're trying to get it to emulate Climb Wyoming. So in that second handout you got, this comes from one of the two dues-paying national organizations that we belong to, the NCSL, and it shows in there how a child support system affects low-income fathers. And why we support this so much is because those two bullet points there, what policymakers need to know and what policymakers can do. So hopefully you see that. And then you go off to the right. There's 25 bullet points. And anytime you see an FF, that's Father Factor. They're doing that. This isn't an after-school program. When you see CSS, that's Child Support Services, and they're doing that. So Father Factor hits on 18 of these 25 bullet points, and Child Support Services hits on five more. So 23 out of 25 bullet points on what policymakers can do. And actually, if these dads weren't in there taking care of their kids, guess who would be? The government. Us. And that's why we do appropriate the way we do sometimes in JAC, why we earmark some things in JAC the way we do. Actually, we went over to this center, it's just across the street over here, for a luncheon in December. 11 of the 12 members of JAC went over there, and it was pretty highly supported by JAC. But if there's any questions about the TANF block grants, I do serve on the NCSL Health and Welfare Committee, so I'm pretty familiar with that program and how that funding works. If you have any other questions about it.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just let the body know, I was a little skeptical of this program before I met these people. And frankly, they're good people doing really good things. They support a lot of people in the community who really don't have anywhere to go. They don't know where to go. I want you to think, for most of the men in the room, if you had to seek these kind of services, where would you go? I wouldn't until I'd heard of the organization. So I'd urge you to consider those things as you vote. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We have a number of organizations in the state, as the one that was mentioned, that support single mothers. But we also need to support fathers. Children need both parents, and even though I've spent most of my adult life advocating for women's issues, you know, this is a family issue, and we've supported this organization, and we need to continue to support it.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Ms. Majority Floor Leader. I just want to gently push back on the earmark comments and not really talk about this program so much, but I just want to tell you our process. There's no doubt about it. This is a big part of our discussion. And how far do we push exerting legislative policy and really things that we as a body want and not cross that line? It's always close. It's a close call. And you get a couple lawyers in a room, you probably have a couple different opinions. And with no disrespect to our members of the bar in here with their JD degrees. But I just, we've talked and talked and talked this issue. This is a program that we have evaluated ourselves and met and looked at. And I think we've felt strongly enough. We've pushed the limit on this because, frankly, we didn't want to get lost in the blob and the blob of the agency. And so we wanted to exert as best we could a little bit of our influence to make sure that this is something that we felt is important. So, you know, the good representative from Albany County, we pushed it. You're right. We pushed it. And there was a couple other areas we pushed it. And legislatures have before us, and I'm sure they will after us. But, you know, obviously be the will of the body. But we've supported this now the last 8 years, the last four biennium. So on and against. Thank you.
Representative Swanser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's actually been the last 10 years because I was a freshman and one of the four people that brought this a decade ago. I just wanted to echo all those comments but also make the body aware that my community does help support this program. We have multiple fundraisers throughout the year that also contributes to this. So it's not just a state program. It's very community-focused in my area here, and we strongly support it as a delegation and as a community in this part of the state.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. And I appreciate all the good comments from the people of Cheyenne, considering this program is only in their city. If this was a statewide program, I guess we would be having a different discussion right now. But since we're funding a program that's only in one city, I think that is a misuse of our funds because we're doing an earmark. I'm not saying this is a bad program. I support the program. I just don't think we should be funding it with state dollars to earmark a program in the city of Cheyenne. Let Laramie County or Cheyenne pay for the program if it's that great of a program. Let's let DFS allocate the money as they see fit. Maybe DFS will say this is a great program and still meets these requirements. And I think it's a philosophical debate, and I'll enjoy hearing the vote.
I think he's done. We're voting on third reading amendment number 47 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 47 to House Bill 1 has failed. Before I recognize you, Chairman Berger, division having been called, all in favor of third reading amendment number 47, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number 47 to House Bill 1 has failed. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 12 down, 38 to go, plus 35 bills on general file. Take all the time you wish. Chairman Berger.
Thank you. And Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I thought if everyone could get up and stretch, that might help us move faster on the next few amendments. But privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. To my right, there's several gentlemen up here that I'm not sure have been introduced this week, but I know one has not, and that's Mr. Walt Raggi, Paul Young, I think that's Nick Kasprick, and then there's Mark Englert there. They're up from Sheridan County and Campbell County, Northwest Northern Wyoming Community College. Please welcome them to the House.
Welcome to the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 16 to House Bill 1, Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I would move third reading amendment number 16 to House Bill 1 and ask for its favorable consideration. This is an amendment that we kind of debated on second reading, but I think there was a little bit of confusion because the amendment that was drafted on second reading cut the money, but it didn't actually specifically cut the program that we were trying to go after. So I wanted to make sure that that we had a fair chance to make sure you were voting for what you understood you were voting on and whatnot. But this is a program that had to do with data collection of juveniles, and our judicial committee considered it over the interim, and we killed this program. And I would push back slightly on the testimony that we heard on second reading because I myself didn't feel comfortable with the program and the way the data was being used and the security or lack of security that was in place. And I think there were many other members of the committee who felt the same. I don't think it's good policy to assign something to a committee, have them kill it, and then just insert it in the back into the budget with no debates and no legislative oversight. And I believe our process works. I think we need to trust our committees, and I don't think it's good form to just put something that was rejected by a committee into a budget with no debate or discussion at all.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I understand that the committee did vote against this. I realize that the word data collection raises the hackles on the backs of many in the body, and I also am concerned about collecting data that we don't need, but I still have not heard compelling evidence that the data that we're collecting through this data collection isn't necessary. Making decisions on low information is not good. I just need to be convinced that we don't need it.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Speaking from my 6 years on the Good Committee number one, we worked so, so hard to get these community boards functioning properly so they could help us improve our juvenile system. Data is not a four-letter word. We need data to make good decisions. And in the juvenile context, data is confidential and it is protected. District court juvenile records are sealed. We do have a problem in our system, and this is why we need data. We have a big problem in our system that if your child goes to municipal court, or if your child goes to circuit court, anybody can walk in the courthouse and read all about what your child did. And we have yet to fix that problem. But the reason we can't figure out how to fix that problem is because we do not have the right data. So we have to be able to collect the data, or we're never going to do what we need to do in juvenile justice. It's like it's a chicken and egg thing. Oh, we want to do X. Well, you don't have the data to support X, so you can't do X. So I would urge a no vote on this amendment.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see that most of you are sitting down, and that's a good thing, because I'm going to argue against this decrease in funds. You have to remember the term here. It's juvenile services. These aren't nice kids. These kids aren't going home in the evening and studying astronomy or math or anything like that. These are kids that are in the court system because they've been doing things like vandalizing your vehicles and your property. It's to keep data on those. It's not to go around and give every kid a serial number. It's to keep data on those children who are problem children. That's where this is. So I would urge you to resist the amendment and keep this data as a way to keep control of the situation. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. At any given time in Wyoming, there are between 700 and 800 juveniles in the system. We want to spend $500,000 collecting data on between 700 and 800 kids. Please let the committee go back and come up with a better plan.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I spent part of the last 2 years on the task force on juvenile, and the biggest problem that we had is we don't have consistent data from the different counties, and so we're comparing apples and oranges on how they're treated, different places, and how you monitor it and how you do it. And so what we really need is good, consistent, and uniform data to know how to move forward and do the right thing. So on and against the amendment.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. On and against, I would just, the first argument was about the committee process, and all of our committees in the legislature, we've had dual tracks on the same issue. We've had these kind of contests between committees. This isn't new to this issue. That's happened on a lot of things, from, you know, Hathaway scholarships to full-day kindergarten, all kinds of things, every issue from water to health to education. But I would remind you what this money is for is really not only those juveniles who are incarcerated, but other folks who have committed misdemeanors, folks who are in the system. The idea is to not go into these disparate systems across the state, but to kind of make this more of a uniform, more of a just a better process to get kids in and help get them the help they need, the services they need, keep on track of them, make sure they're going to school, do the things they need, do the punishment, whatever it is, attend the counseling, make sure all the dots are connected. And right now it's just a paper chase and different agencies talking to different people and nobody really knows. But if you've seen this in action, it pulls this all together. Hey, the kid missed his group therapy session. Hey, the kid's ditching school. Hey, this, that. Let's get this guy and get him back on track. And all of us remember as a young person, I mean, that's why you have adults, parents generally looking out for you. Well, a lot of these young guys and gals, a lot of them guys, they're in the system. And I think this just helps the system work better, really for the benefit of these guys who are going to be adults very quickly. So on and against.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Those of us that have been around a while would remember one of our recently deceased colleagues who used to come to this podium here and tell about how he was a problem child in his high school days, and the judge gave him a choice. He could either go to jail or go in the military. He rose to some prominence in the military, was in the 1,000 landing aircraft club on an aircraft carrier, and went on to captain the ship for the U.S. military. So keeping data on problem children may be a worthwhile thing. Everybody has a chance of salvation inside them. Thank you.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Majority Floor Leader. One way to address this issue is to pass House Bill 155, the electronic citation. It'll help us with our data collection if that's the issue, on and for the amendment.
Representative Blickery.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Speaking as a 64-year-old juvenile delinquent, I hope that we'll oppose this amendment, because any committee needs empirical evidence in order to actually make decisions, and that's what this is about. Just giving them a chance to get the overall evidence. They're not going to be looking at anybody by their personal name or what any one individual did. They're looking at the whole group as a whole. and then trying to get the evidence they need to make a decision. So please oppose this amendment.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Very quickly, we have electronic record keeping now. It's called Facebook. And it's awfully dangerous because what happens is a lot of times people will see what's on Facebook. They take that as fact, and young 64-year-old juvenile delinquents will get a bad rap, and people will take inappropriate action. I would propose that we delete.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I did a lot of work on juvenile justice in the two years that I chaired the Judiciary Committee, and one of the problems that we have is that courts don't even know what each other are doing. There's no consistent thread of information that they can make reference to. And you may have a juvenile that could be in three different courts in one day, and each of the courts is treating that juvenile in an isolated instance without the benefit of the left hand knowing what the right hand's doing. And and the one thing that we learned through those hearings was if we're going to put, as the good chairman of JAC said, if we're going to put these kids back on a good track, we have to have a thread of information that has everything pulled into it. That's the only way that the authorities can settle on a consistent and progressive course of conduct that's going to get this kid back on the rails. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We just will all speak a little bit about data. I'm sure a good number of you in here or have a business or have ran a business, and what's the one key most thing you can have in your business? And that's data on your customers. Your customers walk through the door. You learn all you can about them, their habits, what they buy, what they don't buy, and why do you gather that data? That data is important for you as a business person to better serve the public, the people that walk through your door. It's the same way here. We need data to give these courts a better opportunity to do the job they need to do for the end result.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't disagree with a lot of the things that were said about the importance of data, but we, as our committee, had concerns about the security of the data. A person's personal information is very personal. It needs to be protected. I don't believe that just because somebody is in the court system that they give up their rights and give up their right to privacy. There was a reason that we had this as an interim topic. There was a reason why our committee was tasked with looking at it, and there was a reason why we rejected this as a committee. I think if we're going to not trust committees and not let them do their jobs, why do we have interim topics in committees? Why don't we just stick everything in the budget because somebody thinks it's a good idea? I agree, data can be useful, but there are concerns with how the data is shared, how it's protected, and how a person's privacy is affected. And I think it's bad policy to just put this authority in the budget when a committee that heard this topic and fully vetted it wasn't comfortable with it and rejected it. So I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Putting on third reading amendment number 16 to House Bill number 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 16 to House Bill 1 has failed. Representative Freeman, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the South Gallery is a man who was a member of the Board of Trustees of Western Wyoming College when I was a juvenile delinquent and also ASG president. He took me seriously and gave me the opportunity to become involved in government and in policy decisions. He came down and served in this body, I think, for 6 years. And I followed him to the Board of Trustees of Western Wyoming College and now into the House of Representatives. Would you please give a welcome to Jim Roth?
Welcome to the House. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce former Representative Jerry Eichel from Sheridan, Wyoming, and have him come on the floor for just a quick hi.
Representative Eichel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you, Representative Berger. I'm just going to say hi, because I know that you are got so much work to do, and I don't want to keep you out of your beds too long and have it blamed on me. So I'll put away my 45-minute talk. I love this place because Representative Harvey has always promoted the candy. I know how hard you're working, and I admire that, and I respect you so much, and I thank you for it on behalf of all those folks that I used to represent. And I just am so glad to be able to just meet with you again, and it gets nostalgic. It really does. But I'm so happy that I have been here before and know a lot of you, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Eichel, it's very good to see you again. Representative Freeman.
My eyesight isn't what it used to be. I neglected to introduce two other people from Western Wyoming College, George Ekman, who serves on the Board of Trustees, and Carla Leach, who serves as the college president.
Welcome to the House. Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please.
Like to introduce Jim Vogt. He's a trustee from Powell from Northwest College. We missed him yesterday.
Any other privileges of the floor? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House recess until 1:30 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House is in recess until 1:30 p.m.
Mr. Speaker.
Madam.
Would you like committee announcements?
Yeah, sure. Committee announcements.
Okay. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet right now in room H17 to hear Senate File 51.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Revenue Committee Number 3 will meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock, and we have two bills, Senate File 133, County Board of Equalization, and Senate File 63, Sexual Assault Protection Orders.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 4, Education, will meet for lunch today. And I have ordered lunch, so we will be having lunch together. Senate File 12, Senate File 78, and Senate File 79.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 7, Corporations, will meet on Monday upon noon adjournment, which is February 24th, to hear Senate File 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. These are all corporation interim bills that we'll be listening to. Thank you, Mary.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 2 will meet in 15 minutes to hear Senate File 103 and Gross State Buildings Construction.
The House will now be in recess until 1:30 p.m.